All right, welcome to the Average Saint podcast, where we help the average saint live out their extraordinary calling in Jesus Christ. This is episode 11. My name's Jason. I'm the pastor at Fellowship Baptist Church here in Edmonton. And today we're looking at the topic of cultivating the inner life. The scriptures teach that every average saint is a temple of the Spirit of the living God. And this means that for all who turn to faith in Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live within the very heart of the believer. It's really an incredible reality that the average saint walks around every day with God in them. Yet much of the time, even we who have received the Spirit of God live with nearly a complete disregard for Him. We've got the third person of the Trinity indwelling us, but we're often ignorant of that reality. And so how do we cultivate this awareness, and how do we build the inner life and deepen our enjoyment of God? Joining me today is my dear brother, Ben Reed. Ben served as a pastoral care worker at Urban Sanctuary for 8.5 years, served as an elder here for 7 years, and was a former missionary to Kyrgyzstan. Did I get that right?
Yep, you did.
All right. Well, welcome, brother. How have you been doing these days?
Thank you, Jason. It's wonderful to be with you. Well, lots going on. Pleased to announce July the 1st, I'm making a change and I'm joining a new organization called Outreach Canada.
Oh, nice.
And I'll be joining them as a pastoral care worker, doing much the same kind of ministry. But there's a whole team. It's a Cross Cult Canada initiative, and member care work is being ongoing and all across the country. So Outreach Canada is involved with a network called Missionary Opportunities for Resourcing and Equipping.
Nice.
So I'm joining something bigger.
Oh, that's wonderful. So yeah. You've got more of a field to play in now.
By God's grace.
Amen. Amen.
This is the group that I've been doing the Wilderness Reboot retreat. Unfortunately, we had to cancel this year with COVID, but this is for adult missionary kids who have grown up in a foreign context in another country. We get together for 5 days in the wilderness to do three things. We teach on how to, being alone with God. Mm. We tell our stories to one another. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, we have a whole lot of fun doing some amazing outdoor activities in the bush, in the Kananaskis area of Alberta.
That sounds awesome. That's great. And I also hear recently you've been doing some digging around your house.
Yes, the joys of home ownership when you have a house built in 1943.
A leaky basement. That's great. That's great. So for our listeners today, I wanted to start with just a simple question that we could maybe define what we mean. What is the inner life for the average saint? So how would you define that?
Well, the inner life for the average saint, I'm a big believer that it's keep it simple,
right?
Kind of answer. It's who are we when no one's looking?
Mm.
It's the when we're home alone, there's nobody around, and we're feeling blah.
Right.
Who are we at that moment?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Inner life is that part of you where you look in the mirror, and you're not always happy with what you see, or where you feel vulnerable, to whom or to what are we turning to find comfort?
Right.
I mean, it's multifaceted.
Right.
But in what I do at Urban Sanctuary, we have a lot of conversations surrounding four basic areas.
Mm.
One is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all about worship. So right. It's intentional conversation about what are we worshiping? And scripture says where our treasure is, that's where we find our heart.
Right.
So in layman's terms, what are we treasuring?
Got it.
And as I care for missionaries, many people who do ministry, they treasure the ministry far more than they treasure sometimes their own walk with God.
Mm.
I'm going to put my own life and 30 years in ministry on. I've been guilty of that in my own life.
Right.
Second big area is about people. Love your neighbor as yourself,
right.
Scripture says. So all of the wonderful things around forgiveness, walking in peace, how do we build peace? How do we reconcile? How do we, scripture says, as much as it is possible, live at peace with all men.
Mm.
So relationships are the source of great joy and great heartache.
Mm.
And how do we process relationships and the ups and downs of what that's been like? So that's the big number two.
Very good.
Big number three is who are you when you're vulnerable and no one's around?
Mm.
To whom or to what are we turning to find comfort?
Mm.
And that's habitual sin, the flesh. The Bible calls it the flesh.
Mm.
And then finally, number four, it's about our calling to service in Christ.
Okay.
You preached last Sunday pretty well on God's given us a gift.
Oh, praise God.
And then I'm a big believer that God has given every believer a gift and we're to use it for God's glory. And so that's our calling.
Right.
Using the gifts that God has given us.
Amen.
So that's the big four overview of I would call that the inner life.
That's wonderful. I loved how you put that, you know, the inner life occurs when no one's looking. And I guess that's that state of, you know, being naked really before God in a sense. And honest with who you are, really. And then those four framing questions or issues, love for God, love for others. What was the third one?
Who are you when you're vulnerable?
Who you are when you're vulnerable. And then the fourth one, what's your call? I think that's really going to help us as we discuss this. Okay, so why then, you know, some people might say, well, you know, that's a lot of navel gazing. I'm really not into that. You know, I'm more of a, you know, first action Christian hero. I don't have time to really think about those things. Why is cultivating the inner life important?
Well, there's many ways that I think we could frame it, but I'm going to come down on this. Our lives are best built on the foundation. I mean, scripture says we to build our life on the rock, the sure foundation, and that's the truth. And so if we want to build our lives on fabrication or lies or illusion, we pay the price for it.
Right.
So if we're going to build our lives, we want to build it on the rock solid foundation of truth. And starts with being truthful with ourselves, with God, and then with others.
That's good.
So truth is important.
Got it.
Yeah.
So the inner life is going to drastically set the course or the foundation for the public life and every other aspect of life. Is that yeah. What you're
the old with? Expression I heard when I was a kid was "What's down in the well will come out in the bucket." or another way to say it is "Garbage in, garbage out."
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's very good.
We become like what we put in, what we put into our lives.
Right. And that decidedly is quite a Christian way of thinking. I mean, you know, the worldly way of thinking is that, well, really what we do privately doesn't really affect our public persona. You know, we tend to bifurcate our lives into these different compartments. You know, what I do in this aspect of my life doesn't really affect this aspect. And what I do at home, you know, in my living room or my bedroom or in my kitchen, whatever it might be, doesn't really affect everything else. But that's not what the Christian attitude
not
is
at
to
all.
Be.
That's a dangerous ideology.
It is, but it's so prevalent, though. Yeah. And it does creep into the church. And I think it's important for the average saint to recognize that that's worldly thinking. That's not biblical thinking. Good. So you've been counseling people now, pastoral counseling for years. You've been serving this church as an elder for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
You've been a missionary on the field. And now God's given you this bigger level of work to do where you're going to be counseling really other missionaries. So how have you personally benefited from cultivating the inner life?
I was thinking about this, and I think it comes to when you encounter things that don't go well, you actually start to see a picture of who you are. On the mission field, I was a victim of a crime.
Oh.
I was assaulted.
Wow.
And it ended up being a very traumatic process of me having to come face to face with my inner life.
Wow.
And it's through the process of debriefing with a registered or with people who knew what they were doing. And I'm a peer debriefer now. I'm trained as a traumatic peer debriefer.
Good.
I walk with people who have gone through traumatic incidents as a peer. If it's really bad, I can refer on to counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, whatever.
Right.
And I won't leave people alone, obviously. But I receive that kind of blessing in when I debrief the assault. And then I had ongoing pastoral care in my life because I had to come face to face with some, I'm going to be honest and call it rage. that threw me in the ditch.
Right.
And I had, and that was some of my inner life that I had to come face to face with.
Right. So that's really good for our people to hear, that the inner life you're going to have to deal with at some way, shape, or form. It's unavoidable.
Yeah.
And especially for anyone who's gone through any experience, a traumatic experience like yourself or whatnot.
Yeah.
Then the inner life is coming to the head right away. Or as you said, you know, whatever's at the bottom of the well is coming up in the bucket.
Yeah.
So you benefited from that. You said something about you had to walk through and as a peer.
I'm trained as a peer debriefer.
Okay, good. So tell us a little bit about that. Why is debriefing and unpacking what's going on in the inner life as a Christian so important?
Oh, wow. Yes. The simple truth is that God has not created us as an island.
Mm.
We're not to be alone. He said, it is not good for a man to be alone.
Mm.
And that was in the context of marriage.
Right.
I'm coming up on 31 years of marriage in August the 5th.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm thankful for my companion.
That's awesome.
Marlene. So shout out to my wife.
Amen.
But God's also called us to community life in the church.
Ah, very good.
There's a lot of healing when a body of believers can care for one another.
Mm.
Is to open our ears and shut our mouths and to listen well to the journey of another brother or sister.
Right.
So that's really what debriefing is unpacking what happened.
Right.
What was the impact upon you? How did you feel about it? What is the ongoing results? And then unpacking what kind of plan can you have to build your resiliency and your strength?
That's fantastic.
So in the Christian life, I do this all the time. It's not necessarily post-trauma, but it's just really good to process what you're going through.
Right. And that doesn't happen even within the Christian circles too often. I mean, a lot of folks just sort of bury it, move on, or, you know, the pray it away kind of mentality. And they think, well, you know, they've got this misconception that, well, God and I can take care of this issue. But you said something very important there, that God hasn't created us to be just on our own as an island.
Correct.
That we're relational beings. And obviously our relationship with Him involves relationships with our brethren and obviously our family members.
Another example, how have I benefited? I see somebody every month and I receive care. I talk about my walk with the Lord. I talk about what's going on in my life. I process the impact. We pray, we think, process, what is God saying? And he's a listener, and he's been an important part of my growth as a disciple of Jesus for the last 8.5 years.
Amen. So for 8.5 years, you've had this monthly check-in.
Yes.
With, what would you call this guy, a peer counselor?
Well, I call him, I mean, at Urban Sanctuary, we use the term spiritual director.
Okay, very good. It's really interesting because I've used that term with some of my evangelical friends. They sort of push back on me a little bit. They're like, oh, that's a Catholic idea. and I try to tell them, I'm like, well, actually, no, it's really mentorship, really. I mean, you can call it what you want, but essentially you're talking about processing events, ideas, behaviors, attitudes, emotions through a biblical lens with the help of somebody else. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the director.
Amen.
And the person you meet with is the listener, helping you process and listen together.
Amen. I like that.
And does it come from the Catholics? Yes, it does. But not everything about Catholics are bad.
Fair enough. That's good. That's good. No, I enjoy it. Well, and you know, and the same thing could be said about the spiritual disciplines as well. I remember speaking with somebody, you know, talking about fasting, and they're like, "Oh, that's what the Roman Catholics do." I'm like, "No, actually, that's what Jesus and his disciples did, and that's thoroughly biblical. Just because it has a historical connection to the Catholic Church doesn't mean that it's a bad practice.
Not at all.
Yeah. No, I think that's very helpful. So you benefited from this to such a degree that you've actually made a pattern of this ongoing in your life, even after coming off the quote-unquote mission field.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So I meet with missionaries on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in crisis, many of them. But what they want is someone to process life with and to talk to and to pray with.
Mm.
And I do it on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, typically it's once a month. mm-hmm. WhatsApp mm-hmm. or Skype or video chat of some sort.
So in your experience, and I mean, obviously, you know, you got to keep confidence and whatnot, but when you have seen people not process things, what's the effect? Because we're talking about, you know, your benefit from cultivating the inner life, why it's actually important. What's the ugly side of this if somebody doesn't bother with the inner life?
I mean, there are some things that I think the critically important thing is keeping the gospel in our lives.
Amen.
And speaking the gospel into our lives and in our situations as believers and ministers of the gospel.
Right.
We mess this up. And a good example of this is we turn good work into workaholism. Where good people doing good things make work and service for Christ their idol.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not processing the role of work
mm-hmm.
and the way that it works itself out week in, week out, month on, month out, you can destroy families.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, the crises of workaholism alone in the Christian world is big. It's huge.
Right.
And the missionary world and pastoral world is no exception.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, no, I
so that's just that one issue. The needing to be talked about is the role of our calling and work. And how does that work itself out in my life?
Got it.
Like, I don't need to go to work to make me feel good as a child of God.
Right.
I'm already accepted by God.
Right.
As his child.
Right.
I get to go to work.
Amen.
Because he invited me to go to work.
Amen.
And that's works-oriented versus grace orientation. That's a big nuance that we have to continue to have in front of us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, on the flip side of that, I get to sleep in too, and God still loves me.
Correct.
Amen. Well, that's good. Okay, so I guess for our listeners, the big thing then is, okay, well, how does the average saint go about cultivating the inner life? We talked about what the inner life is. That's obviously who we are before God when nobody's looking. Obviously, we need to cultivate this because this is going to overflow into every sphere of our lives with positive or negative effects. You yourself are a living testimony of the goodness of this. I mean, you've walked through how many years you've been a Christian now?
The best I can tell, I came to the Lord as a child.
Right.
At the age of approximately 7.5.
Wow.
Okay. And I'm 53.
Man, that's amazing. So nearly half a century, right? And you've been married for how long?
31 years in August.
Right, 31 years in August. You got three kids, two are married.
Yes.
And, you know, so, and then you've been on the mission field all the way across Kyrgyzstan. And now you've got a bigger ministry. So obviously the inner life is overflowing in your life. And you're a living testimony of that and God's grace. So how does the average saint then go about cultivating the inner life? What do they do?
Well, there's books and books and books that have been written on this.
Yeah, but we just got one podcast. That's all they're going to get from us, one podcast.
For first thing that I want to talk about is something that may be coming to our church soon.
Uh-huh.
Lord willing, is Freedom Sessions.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
Freedom Sessions is a discipleship course that is going to be coming down the pike here. We can't guarantee when, but it's coming soon.
Amen.
And it's a course for average people to grow in their Christian life, to examine the ups and the downs, the hurts, the pain, the sorrows, the grief, all of the negatives and the positives, our strengths and our weaknesses, and what is the impact, and what is it meant now in the story of our life? What do we tell ourselves? What is the backpack that we carry as a result of our life?
Oh, that's brilliant. And I so appreciate you said that because, and we've talked about this, I know, in other times, but one of the things that has concerned me pastorally the most is a lot of people come to faith in Jesus and they learn a lot about, you know, scripture and interpretation and what different Bible books mean and all the rest of the stuff, principles in the Christian life. But there's very little unpacking and processing past trauma through the lens of the gospel.
Yeah.
And so you've got a lot of walking wounded saints where, you know, the head is full, but the heart's bleeding. And that's dangerous. And I don't think that's God's desire for us I think we're actually being robbed of our birthright, where Christ, who comes to save, to heal, to set free, to restore, and we're sort of just living in shades of that rather than in the fullness of it. I'm glad that you
brought it up. I'm going through the course now.
Yeah.
And listen, I've been following the Lord since I was 7 and a half, and it still was a powerful exercise in my own discipleship.
Wow. Well, that's encouraging to hear that, you know, this thing, even after you've been walking for the better part of half a century with Jesus, is still a blessing.
It's a great opportunity. Please pray for us as the church, as we're trying to wrestle with how do we organize it.
That's great.
And how do we and get it going.
That's wonderful.
The other one, one of the processes of being in Freedom Sessions is we get into triads, or three people in a group, or two people in a group, and developing spiritual friendships of honesty, where we can actually share with one another and process life together.
There's that process.
That's another thing that I would say, that I have a gift of a friend on the south side of Edmonton. We get together about every 6 to 7 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever. We have lunch, and we've done this for 10 years. We just share life, ups and downs, sorrows, good, bad, ugly, everything. And then we just, and we pray for each other.
That's wonderful.
And I don't try to solve his problems. And he doesn't try to solve my problems.
Oh, that's good.
Because I don't know about you, Jason, but if someone tries to solve my problems, I don't want to really have that conversation with them anymore.
Right, because you just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Right? Unless, of course, you're actually asking.
I'm asking.
What should I do?
That's different.
But you're right, though, because so many times we confuse the desire to be heard versus the desire to want to receive counsel. It's like, I just need you to listen to me right now.
Yeah. And that's one of the best practices that we can build is, first of all, pray for friends like that.
Amen.
Some of us have a hard time believing that we're worth getting to know. And I just want to address that up front. That is a lie from the devil.
Amen.
And we need to have the faith that God can provide spiritual friends for every one of us.
Amen.
That's where it begins, is praying for that, first of all. And then it takes initiative.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have some stumbles as you build those types of friendships.
Mm-hmm.
You may not find them right away, but don't lose heart. Continue to process. Keep going and don't lose heart.
Amen.
The next one, bigger practice, is being alone with God.
Mm-hmm.
We do on the Wilderness Reboot. We teach on being alone with God, give everybody a journal. Everybody goes out into the forest and has an hour and a half or an hour alone with the Lord.
Oh, and that's good.
Some people think that that's a punishment.
No cell phone? I know.
And I think I would say that another best practice is being alone with God and solitude.
Amen.
Where you don't have electronic media.
Mm-hmm.
And you just take your Bible and a notebook and you worship. You learn how to pray.
Right.
And you pour out your heart in honesty in prayer.
You know, it's good that you mentioned that, the silence and solitude, because again, we get back into, you know, the spiritual disciplines, but that is a discipline. And I think especially in our day and age where, you know, we're, many of us, let's just be honest, are addicted to social media feeds.
Yeah.
Many of us are actually just uncomfortable with being quiet.
Correct.
Because all of a sudden, when we're quiet, whatever is inside starts bubbling up.
That's the inner life.
There's that inner life again, right? But it's such a necessary discipline to have. And in silence and solitude, you will find your rest. And why? Because in silence and solitude is where we get to receive from God and even just process with God in prayer. I'm so glad that you brought that up because, you know, I talk to people and myself, I have to preach at myself. It's like, no, you're too busy. You're too busy.
Yeah.
And we feel as if, well, silence and solitude is a waste of time. But then all of a sudden your marriage falls apart or your children fall apart or your mind falls apart. And then you realize, I guess silence and solitude is actually not a waste of time with God.
That can be cultivated in many different ways.
Right.
I mean, it can start by getting your cup of coffee or tea in the morning and just sit by the window and breathe and look out the window and drink your coffee and just say, Lord, I'm here.
Amen.
You may not even have a lot to say, but just say that.
Right.
Lord, just I'm here.
Check in.
I'm waking up.
Yeah.
I've got my coffee, Lord. The Lord may have something for you that day or he may not.
Right.
But I think I know he likes it when we show up.
Amen.
Because I need it.
Amen.
C.S. Lewis said, I don't pray to change God. I pray to change me.
Mm.
And the older I get, the more I'm convinced of that.
Amen.
Because prayer is an awful lot about, I have to hear myself be honest. Because if I listen to myself too much, I can get deceived.
Right.
And that's why I have to speak it out.
Right. Especially with someone else. And that there's that processing component. That's fantastic.
Like the Old Testament prophet said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Right. Who can know it?
Right.
Well, if we listen to ourselves too much, we can get deceived.
Amen. Amen.
So best practices of solitude and then being in God's word.
Mm.
Going back to freedom sessions, we're learning a wonderful way of being in God's word.
Mm. Tell me about it.
And it's about being in with the Lord and getting into a short passage of scripture.
Yeah.
And learning different ways to mark up your Bible.
Good.
Where you notice something as you're reading, you do a little tick
right
on top. If you think it's a bit more important, you can use brackets or underlining.
Right.
And it's dialoguing and letting the realization that's the Holy Spirit getting our attention as we're reading scripture.
Amen.
Writing down those things that we notice as we read.
Mm-hmm.
And then having a prayer, asking the Lord, well, allowing the Lord to actually speak to us in his voice, and then we turn in turn responding.
Amen. Amen. That sounds like a much more dynamic way of reading scripture. You know, there's obviously the studious way where you're really trying to drive down into the, you know, the cultural and the biblical context and all the rest of this stuff. But, you know, there's the devotional way of reading where we're having a dialogue.
This is a dialogue, a devotional reading.
Yeah. Right. And we're having this dialogue with God where it's like, okay, well, Lord, what would you have for me today?
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you said. Sometimes it might not be anything, you know, but sometimes it might be something. Oh, I want you to hear this. And then responding in prayer. I love that.
Yeah, we got to be in God's word. We got to be in prayer. And we got to be with God's people.
Amen. Yeah. That's really good.
You and I have talked in the past, our spiritual growth and our emotional growth have to go together.
Mm.
If we're not going to be growing emotionally and spiritually, then we're limping.
Right.
We're not growing the inner life.
Amen. And so that requires other people to help us along in the journey. It requires, obviously, silence, solitude, prayer, God's word. I would say maybe we should add or clarify mature brothers and sisters who will help listen to us so that we can process what's really going on. And then
immature people don't have the patience to listen.
Yeah, and that's what's happened, right? I've heard some people say, well, you know, I've tried to talk with other people and, you know, they just judge me for it or whatever. And it's like, well, you might not be talking to the right individual.
Yeah.
And that's something that people need to discern.
And that's what you need to keep praying about. Lord, bring me to the right person.
Right. Excellent. Yeah. And then this wonderful tool in Freedom Sessions coming up in the fall. That's really good. Okay, I think we've got this. I think this is a good step. Are there any good books out there that you would recommend or people you know, pick up in terms of cultivating the inner life at all?
I have a good friend, Len Thompson,
mm-hmm.
who's the director of Urban Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a set of little booklets on developing the inner world. Of course, the names of these books are escaping me right now.
Okay.
Well, but it's around those four issues that I've talked about.
Good.
Love God, love people, overcoming the flesh, and finding your calling in Christ.
That's good.
If people are interested, they can contact me and I can get them those names of those books.
Excellent. Okay, good. And you can be reached at ben@fellowshipedmonton.com, correct?
Correct.
Amen. Brother, it's been a joy walking with you these last 6 years. I thank God that you are an elder of our church and an ally in the gospel. And I'm so grateful for the ministry that you conduct among us and the ministry that God's expanding for you. Thanks for taking some time away from digging around your house and fixing up your foundation and being here today. I really appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, Jason.
Right on. All right. Well, for our listeners, if you've got any questions for Ben or I, or just any questions about faith in general, feel free to email us at questions@fellowshipedmonton.com. You can follow us on Instagram @FellowshipEdmonton and also on Facebook @FellowshipEdmonton. All right, until next time, this is The Average Saint signing off.